Good morning. Many of the parables are among the most beloved passages of Scripture. Many people could tell them pretty well verbatim from memory. Everybody has their own favorites. But this one is probably nobody's favorite. Nobody likes this story. It doesn't come out right. It's not fair. And fairness is one of those ingrained virtues in our culture. The guys are right. Surely if the guys who worked only an hour got this much, then I'm supposed to get something more than that. It's not fair. That's the point. God is not fair. Aren't you glad? If you had a choice between a God who gives you what you need and a God who gives you what you deserve, would that be a hard choice? If God gave me what I deserve, I don't want to think about that. What have you ever given to God that God owes you something back? What have you ever done for God that's so tremendous that God is in your debt and ought to be paying you back and treating you as you deserve? In fact, if we're honest with ourselves, we have a fair number of sins each to answer for. And if God treated us as we deserve, we would be in serious trouble. Fortunately, God does not give us what we deserve. God gives us what we need. Just like the landowner in the story. Almost all these stories are about God. The prodigal son is not about the son. It's not even about the father. It's about God. The father is an image for God. So here, the landowner is an image for God. He agreed with him for the usual daily wage. Now, we're translating some of these terms into American. It says a denarius. It also says the sixth hour, the ninth hour, the 11th hour, and we translate it into 12 and 3 and 5 o'clock. It works. It's an accurate translation of the thought. So they agreed for the usual daily wage. Now, we're not talking about the usual daily wage of Meir Shattuck. If you saw in the paper this week, having sold Baltimore Gas and Electric to Warren Buffett, he's now eligible to get fired with a $10 million bonus for getting fired. And because the bonus is so small, a $29 million enhancement to his pension plan. That's a good daily wage. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about, again, to translate it into American vernacular, minimum wage. The usual daily wage for a casual day laborer. If you go down here to the 7-Eleven at Broadway and Lombard and hang out in the parking lot until somebody hires you, you get hired, if you're lucky, for the usual daily wage, $6.55 an hour, your 40 ducks. That's what these guys are getting, the usual daily wage. Now, if you work 40 hours a week at the usual daily wage, minimum wage, you can feed your kids, or you could pay the rent, but probably not both. And if you manage to eke by on both, it's definitely week to week, day to day. If you get 1 hour's pay at that rate, think about it. If you worked tomorrow for 1 hour before or after you got laid off and got paid $6.55 for that hour, where would you and your family be tomorrow night? It doesn't take long. It's not going to support even a minimal level of life. You need more than that. So the landowner gives them more than that. Gives them what they could have earned and would have earned if they'd run into each other at dawn and they'd spent the full day in the vineyard. Gives them what they need, not what they deserve. Of course, we don't like that. It's profoundly countercultural. It goes against the whole of Western capitalist culture. The whole society is based on you get what you deserve. You get what you earn. Not a penny more. Sometimes a penny less, but not a penny more. So we recoil from that. Something wrong with that. It's not fair. Well, yeah. It's not fair. It's not God's way. Maybe it is God's way. Maybe our culture is not God's way. Maybe Isaiah was right. Maybe my thoughts are far above your thoughts, my ways above your ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts. Maybe God has a point. Give people what they need, not what they deserve. That would have some radical consequences, wouldn't it? Suppose we decided that parables actually have two points. First is to teach us who God is, and then secondly to teach us who we should be. Because as Christians, we know that Jesus' first, last, and only rule of ethical conduct is understand who your Abba is and grow up to be like that. If we're supposed to grow up to be like this God, how would our life be different? In simple, personal ways, it could be pretty different. Giving people what they need rather than what they deserve. That would mean forgiving not just the friend who offended you almost by accident and is truly sorry and begging to be forgiven, but the curmudgeon who offends you almost as a matter of course and seems to have no real intent of doing anything different, who doesn't deserve it at all, but probably needs it all the more for that very fact. And it would certainly present some interesting challenges to our whole economic system, wouldn't it? I mean, $6.55 an hour, soon to go up next year to $7.25 an hour. And then that's it for a while. How far does that go in society today? Is that truly what people need? Or do we need to raise it some more? Do we need to look at how far it stretches outside our boundaries? I mean, this is a global economy. There's no denying it. There's no changing it. There's no going back. National economies are a thing of the past. This is a global economy. Anybody who wants to stand in the way of that, standing in the way of the tide. But what do we do in the global economy? How do we behave in a global economy? If the person who makes the shirt that I'm wearing makes 1/10 of what we call minimum wage, is that God's way? I'm giving them what they deserve. It was a free bid in the fair market, and that country was able to drive the wages down lower than anybody else, so they deserve it. They'll get the job. But is it what that worker needs? Can you live on 65 cents an hour? Can you pull yourself out of poverty? Not yourself even. Can you pull your kids out of poverty? That's the American dream, isn't it? I'm not going to do a whole lot better, but my kids are. Isn't that the dream, not just that we have for our kids, but that just about everybody has for their kids? Can you do that on 65 cents an hour? Now, I don't know how to solve that problem. Some of these problems are easier to hard do. Some are easier to figure out. The forgiving the person who doesn't deserve to be forgiven, that's a very hard thing to do. It's an easy thing to figure out. How to deal with the global economy how to make sure that people around the world who produce the stuff that we eat, that we wear, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, get what they need and not what they deserve in our economic bidding system. I don't know how to do that. It's not just a question of not having the will. It's a question of not having the knowledge, not having the plan. But I'll tell you this. If we don't change our values first, if we don't change our culture first, if we don't identify that as a problem that we need to solve, then we're surely not going to solve it. And that's a problem that sits before us. Sits before us for gospel reasons. Sits before us also for some practical reasons. People who do not get what they need from our system tend to look for some other system, don't they? Any system that will provide hope for their children, even if it means blowing themselves up. We need to go back to this parable, to think about it, to hear the challenge of it, to hear the challenge of a God who gives us what we need and not what we deserve, and who challenges us in ways that are sometimes hard to do, sometimes hard even to figure out, but challenges us all nonetheless to be like that. To give people, all people, people everywhere, to give people what they need and not what they deserve. Something to think about, something to worry about, a challenge for each of us, a challenge for our national conscience, I think. No wonder it's an unpopular parable. But challenge is good. Challenge makes you grow. Being confronted by the Word of God may hurt a bit once in a while, but it expands you. And in the long run, as you know, it's very satisfying. And we have a fair number of folks around here who challenge people in a fair number of ways. One particular subset of those challenges is the people who serve in our catechetical ministries, who work with our children, who work with us as adults, who try to confront us with the Word of God, pull us apart and stretch us out. Catechetical ministry, presenting the Word of God, may be very much like physical therapy. It's not something you would recommend for recreational purposes, but it's very useful in the long run. And therefore, we need all the more honor to the people who do it.